This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. You just trust. Believe.
My Mom's Ghostly Twin by Abolished Barbie 3. This story happened years ago, but if you know me personally, I've told this story at least once in our friendship, which means you likely know my little brother as well. He also knows this story that I'm about to share with you, as he experienced it with me. He'd tell you the same exact story if you asked him. I'm sure he remembers it the way that I do, and it's a core memory that we cannot get rid of. At this time, we lived in a small 2-3 bedroom home. It was an upstairs-downstairs home and consisted of me, my mom, my little brother, and my little sister. Now, my little sister and I shared a bedroom, and my little brother had his own. But my mom had her bedroom downstairs, so she didn't sleep on the same floor as us. Around this time, I remember being in my late elementary ages, probably 7 or 8 years old. My siblings were 1 and 2 years younger than me, so you can imagine we'd easily get frightened by the dark and our imagination around bedtime. It's expected to have these irrational fears at this age, but it also didn't help that our house was a little off at night. My mom would joke that it was her ghost boyfriend, Jerry. But I think that deep down inside, she said this because she was also scared and she didn't want to give us any further reason to be scared ourselves. Our house was especially weird at night. Things would make noises on their own accord, such as heavy footsteps that belonged to nobody, creeping around the house at night, making the floorboards creak. Even stomping in certain rooms of the house on some nights, demanding to be acknowledged. Voices echoed in the halls that were not ours. They were at the same time clear and vague. Silent cries or weeps, sometimes calling out to somebody. Anyone listening to them. Things would disappear and reappear in the home. It was all weird, and I swear whatever else lived there had a thing for tormenting me and my siblings. I never really acknowledged it when we lived there, but when I revisit these memories, I get unsettled, as it definitely wasn't normal. This night was a regular night for me at bedtime. I had been lying down in my brother's room with him and my sister, as one had mentioned that they were feeling uneasy, so me and my sister decided to sleep over in my brother's room. This just helped us to get to bed easier. It especially helped that his bedroom window invited the light from the street into his room, making it slightly easier to see in the dark, rather than mine and my sister's room, which would be darker at this time. It didn't help that we also had a large closet in there as well. I laid the furthest and closest to the edge of the bed, waking up from the bed rocking from time to time as I slept. My brother's bed was a loft bunk. It was high enough, but also had enough space under it that you could completely sit up. The only thing under the bed were piles of dirty clothes, so there was no space to crawl or move around under there freely. My eyes wandered around the room. With me being half asleep, I followed the lights reflecting on the wall and into the hallway of my brother's doorway. That's when I saw the figure, the shadowy figure. It was a silhouette mimicking my mother. As you'd expect, my breath stiffened and my eyes widened. My attention heightened by this potential threat, while I had a mini heart attack and the loud silence. Almost instinctively, I shook my brother. He was closest to me, and I didn't want to take my eyes off of whatever it was I was looking at so that I could tell if I was seeing this for real. I shook and shook, refusing to let him fall back to sleep after the first few shakes. When he was finally awake, I immediately felt relief. Something about him being awake told me that I wasn't dreaming now and no longer alone in experiencing this. A reason to be brave. I cleared my throat and was able to ask him when he sat up, "Do you see that?" I pointed it out to him. I described it as he tried to find what I was looking at. It was so dark that it was hard to tell if I was just imagining it or if it was real. The best way to describe it is that it was a shadowy figure, a literal silhouette. It had no face, no clothes, but a shadowy aura that made it hard to see its skin or its body clearly. The only thing that seemed really visible was its hair, which was an exact copy of our mother's. It was so curly and the same length, practically laid out in the same style my mom's hair would lay in. It continued to stare at us silently, standing there still, uncanny, and somehow feeding on our fears. It was so unnerving the way that it just stood there in the hall, hiding right before the doorway, peeking into the room at us. It blended into the dark. The only way for us to tell if it was really there was by the strands of its hair that stayed visibly clear. It stood there listening to our irrational conversation and weak attempts to scare it off, staying still and silent. My brother, now seeing it, had gotten the same idea I had and began calling out to it, believing that it was our mother. "Mommy, we see you. We know that's you, Mommy." Now that I think of it, it really frightens me that we even thought it was our mom to begin with. That's how similar it was to her. And with so few features to work with, we were still convinced, out of fear. The fact that it knew it looked like her and mimicked her is what really scares me. My reasoning to believe that this was my mom was maybe she wanted us to go to bed, so she scared us to do so. But it also didn't dawn on me that I had woken up to that originally. In the process of me and my brother trying to convince ourselves that it was her, we laid back down to show her that we were going to bed, in hopes that she would walk away, move, or say something to prove that it was her, especially if we were assuming she was doing that one distinct mom glare that moms do to get their kids to behave. Looking away for a slight second, the figure finally moved. It was abrupt and quick. It ran at us and hid right underneath the bed. My brother and I looked at each other, fully convinced that this was our mom now. We believed she might be playing an odd game with us. So we decided we were going to peek under the bed. So we did. After sitting up from the jump scare, we looked and didn't see anything but the laundry left there from before. It looked untouched, also very still. We didn't see our mom, just those piles of clothes. This made my heart sink immediately and my mind went to, whatever it was is gone now, but it's also right under us. I know that my brother was scared as well because he began hiding under his blanket and scooting away from the edge of the bed. I did the same thing, ensuring that my siblings were safe as my sister slept through all of this right beside us. To this day, I have no idea what I experienced, but this ghost or entity has taken up some space in my brain. I don't know how we slept after that, but we did. It was so scary, we never spoke of it until years later, and when we brought it up to our mom, after moving out of that house, she had a nervous laugh about it, as she had never heard of this happening. But she also confirmed she had never done something like this to us. It was a weird home, after all, and I have a few more stories of weird encounters that have happened there, but they were all quite a bit less traumatizing. Let me know if something similar has happened to you all, and if we know what to call this phenomenon.
The Knock Came First by GF67. I've never really considered myself someone sensitive to the paranormal. I'm not overly religious, I don't meditate, I don't claim to see ghosts or feel a room's energy, but I do believe that sometimes things just happen without any sort of positive explanation. This is one of those times. This happened about 6 years ago, shortly after my wife and I bought our first home in a quiet, older neighborhood just outside of Dallas. The layout doesn't matter, but I know how much you guys like basements, so I'll just say that it had one. Overall, the house was old and outdated, but had the charm of being lived in. Nothing unsettling about it. For the first few months, things were normal. Occasionally, though, I'd find a door cracked open that I thought I'd closed, or hear a floor creak when no one else was walking around. But none of it really concerned me that much. One of the doors was especially strange to see open, though. The hallway linen closet. It catches on the frame and you have to pull pretty hard to get it open. There have been times where I'd be home alone and I'd find the door open, not long after I already passed it and saw it closed. I didn't see anything else weird, though, or hear anything. Just the fact that it was open. But if anything, I suppose the fact I didn't hear it open is a little strange. I hate the sound it makes. Usually, I chalked everything up to drafts in the house settling. But in late September, things started happening in a way that I couldn't dismiss or rationalize. The first incident was a knocking sound, another one of your favorites. It was a Friday evening around 11:30. My wife had gone to bed early, and I was out in the living room playing video games with the volume down pretty low. We didn't have a doorbell yet, just one of those simple brass knockers on the front door. I remember distinctly hearing it, 3 knocks. Not loud, not soft, just deliberate and unmistakable. I muted the TV and waited to hear something else. Nothing. So I got up and went to the door and looked through the peephole. I didn't see anybody. This was stupid, don't judge me, but I walked outside. I just wanted to see if there was any sort of movement or activity out there, but there wasn't. I figured maybe it was a prank. I even checked the Ring camera footage the next morning, but there was nothing but me standing there, looking confused. I heard the knock again that following night. Same time. Same rhythm. I rushed to the door faster this time. Still no one, and the street was empty. I didn't mention it to my wife at first. I didn't want to freak her out, and honestly, I was still trying to come up with a rational explanation myself. Pipes, vibrations, maybe something loose in the frame of the door. But then, the following week, I was out with some friends when I got a text from her. "Did you knock on the door?" That was when I finally told her what I had experienced. She wasn't happy to hear it. Neither of us slept much that night. We started paying closer attention, setting alarms, staying up a little later, keeping an eye on the front of the house. Most nights were quiet, until they weren't. The knocking always came in threes, and always between 11:25 and 11:35, never earlier, never later. And then it moved, not time slots. One night, we both heard it coming from the back door in the kitchen. It was a different sound, hollower. There's no doubt what we heard. We didn't have any cameras back there, so I flipped on the floodlight and went to check, but once again didn't see anything. It didn't help that around this time, both my wife and I started having bad dreams. Not nightmares exactly, just dreams that left us both feeling unsettled, like it wasn't just the two of us in that house. One night, I dreamt I was lying in bed and heard footsteps in the hallway. When I turned my head, I saw the silhouette of a man standing in our bedroom doorway. I couldn't move or make a sound. The man just stood there. I don't remember waking up, but in the morning, my wife told me I had been talking in my sleep. She said I was mumbling the same short phrases over and over, but the only word she could make out was answer. We brought in some professionals. No, not any paranormal types or a priest. An electrician first, then an HVAC specialist. Nothing wrong with the boiler. No loose wires. No vibrations in the foundation. We even had the house checked for animal activity. No signs of raccoons or squirrels nesting near the doors. The knocking slowed down at least, but it was still there. Eventually, we started ignoring it. We figured if it was something trying to get our attention, and we didn't give it the satisfaction, maybe it would stop entirely. It didn't. But something changed. One night, when we were sitting in the living room, we heard it. But rather than the usual three, this time it was just one single knock. Something about it felt heavier. We didn't check the door. The next day, my wife got a call from her mom. Her grandfather had passed away around midnight the night before. He lived in another state, and she hadn't seen him in years, but he was important to her. It was one of those calls that hits harder than you expect. I don't know if it was connected, but I do know the knocking stopped after that. It's been 6 years, and we haven't heard it since. No knocks, no shadowy figures, no weird dreams. We still live here, and we still don't have a proper doorbell. Maybe it was all just a weird coincidence. I don't claim to know what it was. But I do feel that something was trying to be heard.
Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Stuffed Animal Dropped Out of Thin Air by Absolute Grief. Last night, my wife and I were going to sleep a few minutes past midnight. We don't have any kids. We don't have any pets. We're the only people in the house. We had washed our bed sheets and duvet earlier in the evening and had put the fresh bedding on right before bed. My wife has a stuffed animal possum from when she was younger. It's named Puddin' Pop. He is usually just plopped down at the end of the bed and sometimes down on the floor when he rolls off of the bed. Occasionally, she'll cuddle up with it when we're going to sleep. While falling to sleep, we were lying there talking. I was spooning her with my arm. My head and my arm were the only parts of my body outside of the covers. As our conversation is trailing off, as we're getting sleepy, I say something like, "Where's Puddin' Pop? Did we put him back on the bed after making it?" She just says that she isn't sure, and then we're quiet for a few minutes. 3 minutes go by, and Puddin' Pop suddenly lands on my arm, which is slung over my wife as we're cuddled up. He's a stuffed animal with the same material that's inside Beanie Babies, and he makes a distinct plop sound, as if you were to drop a Beanie Baby down on a table. It's very audible. Our eyes both shoot open immediately. "Did you just drop Puddin' Pop down on me somehow?" "No. How could I have?" she responded. She was completely under the covers, other than her head. She's immediately freaked out. The stuffed animal came down on me hard enough for her to feel it through the covers and jolt us both up. We have no bedside table by the bed. Nothing at all that he could have fallen off of. Our bed is essentially just up against a wall in the middle of the room. I have no explanation of where he came from, how he just dropped on top of us, or anything. It's very bizarre, and I found it very hard to sleep for the next hour.
Gate Kids by Charlie. Have you ever heard of the GATE program? Gifted and Talented Education. My district called it TAG, Talented and Gifted. It was a program run through schools for kids who hit early milestones or demonstrated advanced abilities. I was selected for the program when I started school. My mom thought it was just about keeping me ahead academically, but now I'm not so sure. Apparently, my blood type, O negative, was also a factor. The memories I do have of the program are strange. We were removed from our regular classes for TAG sessions, and each time we'd start with a fluoride test. They'd give us this chalky pink drink to swallow. We also had hearing tests and played games, designed games or went on special field trips. But here's the thing. My memories of these sessions feel incomplete. I remember going into the sessions, but I don't ever remember leaving them. Outside of the program, my life started to change. I began fighting sleep every night, terrified of something. I surrounded myself with stuffed animals at night, building a fortress for protection. From what? I don't know. Maybe it was the voices murmuring in the dark, or the way light would shine across my room, like passing headlights. But there were no cars. The nightmares were relentless. I'd see myself in third person, like I was watching my own life unfold. They were so vivid, so unsettling, and they didn't stop until my 20s. And then there was the Hat Man. I first saw him during this time. I was awake, fully aware. And there he was, a shadowy figure wearing a tall hat, watching me. I still see him every so often. My cousin has seen him too, throughout her life. When I asked if she had been in a program like this, she said yes. She's 10 years older than me, and also O negative. I can't shake the feeling that these things are all connected. What's more unsettling is how this program seems to linger in my life. I hear the opening tones of the Gateway tapes, and it's like I'm transported back to being that terrified little kid in TAG. Even now, I'm connecting with others who were part of the program. We were piecing things together, comparing notes, but we were just kids. What did they make us do? What was the purpose of those games and tests? And then there's how my abilities changed. I became ambidextrous without even trying. I also developed this strange ability to know what was happening to my loved ones, no matter the distance. I even remember feeling like I could float down the stairs as a child. I know how this all sounds. But for the record, I'm sober. I'm sane. I just need to know, what was that program really about? And what did it do to us? One last thing. I've heard a wild theory about the Titan submarine from Oceangate. Some people think it may have found a portal in the ocean. Maybe it explains the name, or the mystery surrounding the search efforts. Thanks for all you do. Now I'm off to face my fears and finish these tapes.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
I experienced time distortion as a child by Arlito. This happened when I was about 7 years old. I never really gave it another thought until recently, when my mother reminded me it happened, and how we were never able to explain it. I was in summer school, and during one recess, I was playing on the playground with this girl I had become close to. Usually when recess is over, a loud bell would ring to signal that it was time to go back to class. On this particular day, the girl and I were lost in our own little world of make-believe. We didn't hear the bell ring, and eventually, we noticed that we were alone on the playground. The weird thing is that there were yard duties on site, so an adult would corral the kids if they didn't immediately respond to the bell. But that day, there wasn't an adult to tell us to go back inside. There weren't any kids crawling around on the monkey bars with us. It was just empty. It really felt like the playground had only just vacated after a few minutes, so we figured we would be in huge trouble if we made our way back to the classroom. Upon entering the classroom, the teacher immediately yells out, "Where have you girls been? We've been looking for you." It turns out 2 hours had passed from the time that the bell rang to when we reappeared. We were yelled at for disappearing, but as a child, I never really understood why I was in trouble. I never left the playground, so why was I getting yelled at? Looking back on it, I have to wonder, did we disappear? Does this sound like missing time? It really felt like we had taken our recess as normal, and nothing weird happened. The creepy thing is that both the girl I was playing with and I experienced the same thing. So there's no way that this was just some hallucination coming from my brain alone. I kind of just shook it off as one of those, I guess we'll never know, types of things. But now that I'm older, it really is one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced. I'm curious as to what may have happened. Did we get abducted by aliens, hence the missing time? Did we actually slip into a different dimension? Were the Fae trying to kidnap us? When we realized we were alone, it was totally the Oz effect. No noise, just eerie silence. Anyway, I'm not sure why I'm sharing this other than I just want to share something that might resonate with you all. I'm always curious to see if anything similar has happened to others.
Potentially Haunted Gas Station by Benny. I used to work the night shift at a small town gas station off a quiet highway in central Oregon. Most nights were slow. We had a few regulars, truckers passing through, sometimes a weird tourist heading toward the coast. This happened in early October, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Somehow I remember that it was a Thursday night, just after 2 a.m. The store was empty and I was restocking the drink cooler. We had security cameras and I had the monitor up behind the counter, facing the pumps. That way I could see if someone pulled in without having to walk to the front windows. So I'm in the cooler, stocking shelves, and I hear the door chime go off. Someone came inside. I finish what I'm doing, walk out front, and there's no one there. No cars at the pump either. I figured maybe someone stepped in and then left quickly. It happens sometimes, like if people think they left their wallet in the car or whatever. So I glance at the camera feed. I don't see anything. The last car had pulled away maybe 20 minutes earlier, but the door chime definitely went off. A few minutes later, I heard it again. Ding. This time I'm standing right by the counter, maybe 10 feet from the door. I whipped around, but there was still nobody there. I walk outside and the lot's empty. The highway's quiet, no headlights. Just the buzzing of the overhead lights and the distant sound of frogs out by the ditches. Now I'm a little weirded out, so I start double-checking the chime system. Sometimes bugs get in the sensor or it just glitches. But it seemed fine. I go back to the counter. And I'm staring at the monitor when I see it. One of the outer pumps, the farthest one from the building, just clicks on. No car, no movement. But the screen lights up like someone lifted the handle. Then, just as quickly, it shuts off again. I walked out there, half expecting to see a raccoon or some kid messing around. But there's nothing. I'm the only person in sight for a quarter mile in any direction. That pump stayed locked after that. I even went as far as to put an out-of-order sign on it, just in case. I told my manager about it the next day, and she laughed it off, saying it was probably just the wind. But there wasn't any wind that night. And I don't know, maybe it was just a glitch. Maybe even two. But that chime and the pump going off at the same time, with no one around? That's never happened before, and it hasn't happened since.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That was definitely the scariest example of a mimic or, I guess, shadow person.
Yeah, that's a worthy contender at least.
Yeah, it wasn't just a shape, and it had her mom's hair.
I'd say that's probably how it lured them in.
Yeah, yeah, and it knew exactly what to copy to make them hesitate.
The worst part is that it didn't move until they let their guard down, like it was waiting for a cue or something to act. Whatever it was, it knew exactly what to do, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of behavior definitely lines up with accounts of entities that I guess some people call mimics like we do, or shadow familiars or familiar shadows, whatever.
Yeah, like they don't just imitate, they interact. And most of the time, they don't say anything. There's just enough resemblance to cause confusion or fear.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't a dream or any kind of hallucination either, because like we've heard in a lot of recent stories, there was a second witness.
Yeah, the author and their brother both remember this years later. Definitely not some kind of sleep paralysis or your usual shadow person type of encounter.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been reading up on Jung a lot lately because you bring him up a lot in the show. And I was really creeped out by some of the theories that I read about shadows or shadow persons. I guess your shadow person or your shadow entity, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the shadow.
He also talked about the act of imagination and trying to connect to the shadow rather than running from it. So you can kind of disarm it by figuring out what it wants.
I guess the idea is once you do, it stops working against you and actually helps you grow into this more balanced version of yourself. In this case, they just played along and talked to it like it really was their mom. Then the thing just ran under the bed and disappeared.
Yeah. I love and hate stories with liminal spaces. Like, why are ghouls and ghosts always lurking in the hallways?
They're voyeuristic perverts. Not to say all voyeurists are perverts. Consensual voyeurists, at least. But
yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I've seen too many modern horror movies to be doing this podcast, to be honest. That scene played out in my head a lot like a Mike Flanagan movie.
Yeah, I'd say that visual is probably one of the more scary stories that we've had in a while, but at least we had that stuffed animal story to serve as some sort of palate cleanser, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, did a Beanie Baby just glitch into bed with them?
Yeah, and they described that sound so perfectly. If you grew up in the 90s like we did, you know what it sounds like when you drop one of those onto a table or your lap. It's soft, but it's got some sort of weight to it.
Yeah.
A beanbag with an attitude, I guess. There's no mistaking it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why those things were such a big deal. I resisted the urge to collect them at first, but then McDonald's started putting them in Happy Meals and I just got hooked.
Yeah, they were so satisfying. Super cute. They were like a Tamagotchi that never died.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was our childhood's version of Pop Toys, just not so weird looking.
I have a coworker who has 3 Funko Pops on his desk, and they are LeBron James, Michael Scott, and Mandalorian. Like, nothing against either of those things, but it's just very, I don't know. I'm just going to leave it at that. You can infer what you want. Yeah.
It's so typical.
Yeah, a little bit.
Those 3 Pop Toys specifically, those 3 characters are people. Like, that's just so typical and funny to have together.
It is. It's very, I like things.
Yeah. Like, I like all those things. I like watching LeBron play. I like Michael Scott.
Yeah.
And Mandalorian season 1 was great.
Exactly.
It's just funny to have a Pop Toy of each of those.
My favorite color is blue. What's your New Year's resolution?
Yes, exactly.
So much unwarranted elitism and pretension. We're horrible.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
But also it's a joke for the sake of a joke. And yeah, I'm not going to justify it any further than that. Pokemon cards, now there's a collectible for you.
Especially if you played, too.
I never saw anybody play the game how you were supposed to. Like what we used to do, we would just like pick our favorite card and then just do math. Like we'd flip a coin and say, okay, you go first. And then I pick this attack minus from that other person's HP. And it was like so, it made no sense.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out until I was a lot older that it was more involved than just doing basic math.
The game was actually really fun and pretty simple. I liked it a lot. I think I only really played it with my friend Ernie and my cousin growing up. Nobody else really played it. They just collected.
Yeah, I'd be down to actually try it out again. Magic seems a little bit too advanced for me at this stage in my life to really commit to it, but I think Pokemon could be fun. Yeah. Or maybe like even Yu-Gi-Oh, I guess, is apparently pretty fun, but I don't know enough about it to really say one way or another.
We don't know enough about it or have enough time for it.
Nope.
Yeah, Pop Toys just didn't click with us, but man, the Beanie Baby craze was wild.
Oh yeah, and a lot of manufactured scarcity trying to drum up sales. Remember that picture of like that couple getting a divorce, splitting their Beanie Babies on the floor?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
It totally worked though. I was just talking with my wife about them and she told me about how her aunt had nearly every single Beanie Baby ever made.
Whoa, that's some commitment.
Yeah, she was one of those obsessed people thinking that she was going to be a millionaire one day.
Like the people who bought like thousands of fidget spinners from China hoping to resell them only for them to lose all value like in a week.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can still make a pretty penny on those early holographic Pokemon cards, the first editions especially. I think I may have told the story in the show, but there were some neighbor kids who would steal. They would shoplift from Walmart. They would go like every week wearing these like ridiculous like puffer jackets in the summer, totally not suspicious. And they would just load up their coats with these Gen 1, the original packs. And they had a full binder just completely like filled up with cards. And I really hope that something happened to them and they didn't get to cash out on that later in life. But not like to them, but like to the cards. Should have reported them, maybe, probably not. Not my business. Plus the suburbs back in the 90s, stitches occasionally, got stitches.
They're currently in jail with a lot of neck tattoos.
One of them did get a DUI. I did confirm that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But you have to find somebody willing to pay you what you want to get for it or what people say that it's worth or what it's listed on eBay as. And, you know, I hate selling stuff.
That guy who sold Post Malone that $1 million magic card,
mm-hmm.
could have been us.
Yeah, definitely.
But unless it's some side gig or a job that you can really commit time to, it's just so much extra work selling stuff online.
Totally. I hate it.
Yeah. So did her aunt ever sell them off, the Beanie Babies?
Nope, she just threw them away at some point.
Wow. I guess that's a funny ending.
Yeah, yeah. She even had the Princess Diana Beanie Baby, which gets listed on eBay for like a stupid amount of money. I don't know if it sells for that, but it's quote unquote worth a lot.
Is it actually Princess Diana or like some sort of innocent lamb with a crown or something to resemble Princess Diana? I've never heard of that.
You know, I can't remember. I remember it being a Princess Diana one. Even Natalia remembers it that way. This could be a Mandela effect. It was a princess bear for sure. Let me look it up right now.
Oh, so it was a bear, so it was an animal.
Let's see. This Beanie Baby was designed to honor the late Princess Diana. Yeah, it came out in 97. It was retired in 99. It's a royal purple bear and has a purple ribbon tied around its neck, and its chest is adorned with an embroidered rose. Some of these can sell for a few thousand, but there are some rare ones with errors that you can fetch a whopping sum from some collectors. They're listed on eBay from 50,000 to 325,000, but I can't imagine anybody's buying these.
Yeah, you just got to meet the right person who is bored enough and rich enough. It's still hard to wrap my head around the fact that they sold for so much, and apparently some of them maybe still do. I don't know.
Yeah, but a lot of them did have printing errors or special tags and stuff that made them super rare.
I do remember that, like, kids in class would scream at other kids for, like, taking off the tag.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're not supposed to do that. And then The more rational kids, you know, depending how you look at it, were just like, no, I'm going to play with it. Why would I want to keep a tag on my toy? But I like that. I like the kids that did that.
Yeah, definitely.
It is pretty funny, though, how much value we place on useless items, or at least subjectively useless. It just goes to show, like, the absurdity of just money in and of itself and what we determine to be worth spending that money on. The whole thing is just such a weird construct. And then plus the whole absurdity with, like, FDR telling everybody to turn in their gold in exchange for the banknotes. And then after they had all the gold, they raised its value, and now you have to spend more cash to get your precious Beanie Babies. It's silly. Okay, but I'm done.
I agree. I hate it, but I wouldn't pass up a copy of that Flintstones Dino Peak game if I saw it at a yard sale.
That's pretty valuable, right? Like Princess Tomato or whatever on the NES?
Yeah. Yeah, for the Flintstones one, I've been looking for this for a while. There was a rumor that it was only ever available to rent at like specific Blockbuster stores, and that's why it was so rare.
Mm.
And I believed that for years, but it turns out it was just rare because hardly anyone bought it. I think it goes for like 10 grand or something now.
Wow. Well, if anybody has a copy of Yoshi's Story on the Nintendo 64, look at the label. If it says not for resale, keep that not for resale copy of Yoshi's Story. You're sitting on a pot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of those not for resale ones are pretty valuable.
Unless it's the original Sonic the Hedgehog. I think the majority, if not all of them, were not for resale.
Oh, yeah. That got packaged into every Sega Genesis system.
Yeah. But like most NES games, I guess, with that Flintstones one, I'm sure it's not all that great. I don't even want to say most. Actually, that's probably accurate. I would say most, if we're talking about a matter of percentages,
yeah.
I would say at least 51% of NES games didn't age all that well.
I'm a big fan of NES. Most of my favorite games are on the NES, but I'll say it's more like 75% suck, man.
Yeah, for sure.
They're terrible. Because we hadn't really figured out 8-bit video games yet. Like, they were figuring out how to make games work right. And I don't think they figured it out until 16-bit. That's when stuff got really good.
Yeah, do you know who figured it all out? Probably parents of children who were part of the GATE program, if they even had that in Japan, which I'm at whatever. Did your school have one of those?
Not that I'm aware of. My neighbors growing up definitely made it a point of letting my parents know that their kid was in GATE, but that's it.
Yeah, of course. You know, you got to show off your kid.
If my school had a program, maybe they just kept it under wraps so the rest of us didn't feel stupid. But then again, I did only go to school for like a few grades. The rest was all homeschool.
Did you go to school? Yeah, for a few grades.
Yeah. Well, I am a high school dropout, so.
Hey, there you go. I love that. That's a success story if I've ever seen one.
I kind of wear it as a proud badge.
Yeah, there was a... Was it Bill Gates or I don't know? There was somebody else. I mean, all these anomalies, it's kind of interesting because the people that do like go against the grain and just say, nah, I'm not going to go to school. Yeah, of course, the majority like may not end up, you know, in your position or be like a Bill Gates or whatever. But there is something to be said about those who kind of think in that different way, who have something else about them that can more than make up for non-traditional schooling and, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard. So he did actually go to college. He just dropped out after, like, I think a few semesters.
Oh, okay. Not as exciting. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so weird in school when, like, the kids in GATE would get summoned by this lady who I never saw any other time at the school. It's like the only thing she did was just gather up the GATE kids. Maybe she was, like, a school counselor or something. I don't know. But it was so funny because whenever she rounded up the other two kids in the class, by asking for those two, she may as well have said, anybody who isn't gifted and talented, just stay where you are, idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially as a kid, it probably feels that way. Where are they now?
Oh, the kids in GATE? I have no idea. Probably working behind a figurative curtain somewhere.
Yeah. It sounds very weird and culty just going off the story.
Yeah, I don't actually know anything else about it. I thought it was just some club for smart kids. Thinking back to when I was in the fifth grade, it feels like some weird hybrid of Mensa, Freemasonry, and Scientology.
Yeah, recruiting fifth graders into Skull and Bones.
Yes, yeah. That explains a lot about GWB.
You know, Charlie mentioned hearing tests. I do remember my hearing checked a lot when I was in elementary school, also in eighth grade, but it seems like everybody did.
Yeah, those red and blue headphones, such a throwback.
Yeah, exactly.
I once got scolded for lifting up my hand and copying the person directly in front of me. Just, I don't know why I felt like it was important to, I don't know why I did it. Like, it wasn't like I had bad hearing. But by doing that, I had opposite answers than what I was supposed to have. And then this, the teacher, whoever, just like walked up to me and she's like, you need to not do that. And that was it. That was my non-story about getting my hearing checked.
That's so funny. I cheated so much in school. Man, I was a bad student. Not only did I drop out, I cheated a lot. I just didn't care. I didn't care about school and I didn't have anybody forcing me to care or pushing me to care. So it just didn't matter, but I cheated all the time.
I did for math, I would say. Like once I got down the basics of, the basics up until early algebra, beyond that, it was just like, oh no, this is stupid. But as an adult, work my brain in other ways.
Yeah, I didn't get bad grades. Like
I would hope
stuff.
Not if you're cheating.
I just didn't care. Yeah, that's weird. And then what's funny is when I got out of school is when I started getting interested in learning stuff.
Yep.
And then like that, I learned in my own pace and in my own way with the internet. Thank you, internet, for making me a competent adult.
Yeah, exactly. Like with anything else, it has to come from within, like change or learning or tasks or anything. I think something about being forced to go to school, being forced to do these assignments and be around people you don't want to be, it just takes out any sort of incentive to truly care about it. But yeah, now as an adult, like this sounds so whatever, but like I've replaced entertaining myself with creating things and learning things. And
exactly.
It's so much more fulfilling than being forced to do whatever curriculum that the school determines is most important. And they don't even teach you about things that really matter for life skills. Like there's no basic budgeting class. There's no warning about interest rates and like predatory practices. It's like, man, like I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. So maybe if they aren't recruiting kids to lead, the new world order, at the very least, they could be like looking for the next X-Men.
Yeah, doing all those tests to discover their abilities before they realize that they have them.
Exactly. Maybe they have like a unique gene that somehow responds whenever they have that green drink.
Oh, it was a pink, but green would be cool too.
Okay.
Yeah, the leprechaun soda or a melted shamrock shake.
Yeah, gross.
And we got to mention Robert Monroe's Gateway tapes.
Oh, yeah. That was weird. I really want to know if anyone else listening can vouch for that happening. Even if it just happened at Charlie's school, that's just so crazy to think about. Hand selecting the smart kids and raising their states of consciousness.
I know, they didn't mention any sort of meditation, but maybe they looped some binaural waves into the hearing test and like unknowingly pulled some strings on their subconscious.
Yeah, definitely.
Charlie, the author, he did say, though, that his school called it TAG rather than GATE.
Yeah.
And going back to Scientology, my favorite thing, Scientologists, they would call that squirrel tech, like the equivalent of somebody teaching L. Ron Hubbard's stuff outside of the official Church of Scientology. They hate that. They hate squirrels. So maybe TAG is just like a squirrel org of GATE.
Yeah, no idea. I really hope that somebody else who was in GATE or TAG can write in.
Yeah, tag us.
Yeah. And real quick, I didn't see a connection to the Titan submarine that imploded beyond the Ocean Gate name. Am I missing something?
Yeah, that kind of lost me too, but whatever. Since it mentioned the Titanic, though, might as well give people a rabbit hole to explore.
Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
Okay, yeah, so buckle in. For those uninitiated, there's this theory, a conspiracy theory, mind you, that it wasn't the actual Titanic that sank. It was like a nearly identical sister ship called the Olympic, owned by J.P. Morgan, and the Olympic was underneath, it seemed better days, so basically as some like part of an insurance scam, they swapped the name and sunk it on purpose, And I guess to add some additional intrigue, there was a bunch of people who were supposed to be on that ship and did not go, including J.P. Morgan himself. So take with that what you will.
Yeah, man, that's crazy stuff. I haven't gotten too deep into that, but I bet you loved that story about the Nox.
Oh, I did. It wasn't all that scary, which is fine, but definitely interesting, especially hearing the knock on the back door.
Yep, yep. I love when someone starts by saying that they're not into the paranormal. They don't claim to be sensitive.
And they just happen to have a totally plausible story.
Yeah, yeah, right. And like you said, it wasn't scary, but it didn't need a big dramatic reveal or floating lady in white. Just those three knocks over and over.
Until it wasn't just three.
Yeah, yeah. That single knock at the end was, I guess, unnerving.
Yeah, and the timing with her grandfather's death. I don't know. That's the kind of synchronicity that makes you wonder if something else was trying to prepare them for the author's grandpa passing away.
Yeah.
Or maybe the single knock was him saying goodbye, just to kind of differentiate from the other three.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I think it was related. I also thought the way that the author described the dreams was, I guess, relatable. Mm. Not like full-on horror, just that strange, unshakable feeling of something being off.
Exactly. It reminded me a lot of what's referred to as thin places, like that sort of veil between reality and the otherworldly or the other side or whatever. Things just kind of bleed through.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about thin places. I think that was the term that was used in the past. It keeps coming up in these stories. And the hallway closet thing was like just a great little detail, you know, so subtle, but I don't think that it's just, you know, from the house settling.
Okay, bud, calm down. Who made you structural engineer of the year?
We do hear a lot of weird noises in this house. I constantly hear somebody in my closet. It's weird. It's like something will move around in my closet. I thought that it was the haunted doll before because that's where I kept it before I got rid of it.
Pickles, yeah.
Yeah, but I still hear noises in my closet. Not like stuff's just moving. It's weird.
That is super strange. Like directly above me is like the kitchen and a landing that goes out into the backyard. And I've been here like home alone, like in my office, hearing just like very like solid thumpy steps, like walking up and down that walkway or what, that landing.
Yeah.
And then, but it's, you know, the difference between like a pet's feet moving around and like an actual stomping sound of like human feet. And yeah, no, it was really strange. It only happened once. But I don't know. I don't really think my house is haunted, but there have been like a few things where little concerning, especially because of like the three loud bangs in the other house. I really hope there isn't like anything out there following me around, but I don't think so. It would be a lot more apparent if that were the case.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, okay then.
Anyways, thank you everybody so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories into stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show. And join our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails. It's the best way to listen and support the show. Again, that's patreon.com/oddtrails. And be sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radiocast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see y'all next week. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.